the rest of the story. The dinner party was winding down when suddenly there was a knock at Bessie's door. It was a frantic knocking, and when she opened the door, the man standing there said, "You've got to come quickly. Eddie has been in a terrible accident. I think he's dead." Bessie's husband told her, "No, you stay here. I'll go." But Bessie made it clear if she could, she must help. Well, the man in the crumpled car at the bottom of the hill had been a guest at Bessie's dinner party. Eddie had left the party early, saying that he was very tired. But the roads in the area, unfamiliar to him, were twisting and precipitous, and somewhere between there and home, he had missed a sharp turn, had careened into a telephone pole. When Bessie arrived at the scene, she was horrified. Eddie's car was barely recognizable as an automobile, and Eddie likewise was barely recognizable. As Bessie peered into the wreckage, she could see Eddie's body jammed beneath the dashboard. On his face, good heaven, his face appeared to have been torn away. By now, other dinner guests had reached the bottom of the hill, encircling the demolished car with their own cars. They shone their headlights into the grotesquerie of mangled steel. What once had been the doors of the car seemed now to be fused with the frame, but Bessie cried out to the others, "Help me get a door open." The driver's door would not budge. Then, after a tremendous struggle, one of the rear doors opened, and just enough so that Bessie could crawl in over the remnants of the front seat. She crawled to Eddie's side, and there she sat, fighting tears, cradling her friend's pulverized head in her lap. "You're going to be all right," she kept telling him, in tones as soothing as she could summon. And yes, the swollen eyes did start to open. Eddie was alive, and now he was moving one arm. In fact, he was motioning to his throat, and panic seized the tormented eyes. He was trying to tell Bessie that he could not breathe, that he was choking. Well, upon realizing this, Bessie reached in with her fingers past the split wide-open lip, past the shattered jaw, down into what had been Eddie's mouth and throat, and with her fingers she withdrew the obstruction, and Eddie's chest heaved, and he was breathing again. Bessie would never forgive herself for having invited Eddie to that dinner party, for having insisted that he come. But then, and of this there can be no doubt, she did save his life. Eddie made it to the hospital. He did recover. And when he had recovered, he presented to Bessie a token of her valor, a keepsake of that dreadful night, which she has kept even unto this day. The two dislodged teeth that had gone down his throat and had almost caused him to suffocate. The teeth which she had valiantly retrieved with her fingers, thus enabling him to breathe again. So Eddie would repair. He would finish the motion picture with co-star Bessie, the one they were halfway through when he tangled with that telephone pole. The movie is called Raintree County, and it remains as a monument not only to their talent, but to Bessie's courage and deep affection for Eddie, Edward Montgomery Clift. And Bessie, that's what co-star Monty Clift always called his dear friend. Bessie was Elizabeth Taylor. Now you know the rest of the story.